Come on, technology. I guess we could all just sing. Yeah. Oh, hi, everybody. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, Romans chapter 16, verse 24, page 13 of your notes. All right, this is your opportunity. I won't dwell on this very long. Get yourself, if you're not in fellowship, yeah, you should have been encouraged by the letter that was written. I'm always encouraged by people who make these kind of big, big decisions. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we know that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We have not chosen that path. We have chosen the path of truth as we move forward in these incredibly corrupt times. But you have provided all the necessary grace and everything we need as a local body in Christ to continue forward to the upward call. Bless our Bible class to that end in Christ's name. Amen. All right, an extended final doxology. As noted, this book is unusual from the standpoint of, for a number of reasons, but one reason is several endings. But that things happen, you know, and they reached a point, they realized they had to plug in, he had to plug in some more stuff and had some more people that needed to be greeted and people that needed to greet the people in Rome. Because we are a family, and we are a family of shared values if we're on doctrine. Otherwise, we're just helter-skelter in the cosmos, bouncing from one thing to another, which is the story of a lot of Christians. They're either they're one of three general categories. Cold. I was told a story about a guy on his deathbed, and all his relatives, he drank a lot. Okay, he's a believer. And he got sick, and they were all sure it was his liver, and the doctor came in and said, it's not his liver. Well, then they're trying to evangelize him, thinking he couldn't be saved because he never went to church. And on the deathbed, he kept trying to set him straight. I'm a believer. So he falls in the category of cold. I'm saved. I don't go anywhere. And then there's the lukewarm, which is the big evangelical thing today, and getting worse as they have compromised here and there and refuse to teach the whole counsel of God. There isn't things in the Bible, oh, I don't think I'm going to teach that one. That's cowardly on the part of the communicator. There's a time and place to put new stuff before people, and that's what we've done. And then there's hot. Those that are on track, on board, and going like apparently she is. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Verse 25. And you'll say, well, why is there any Greek with this? Just a minute. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, to him who is able to establish you. Able is dunamai, the participle. Who is able to establish is an infinitive, of course, to rizo. It means to strengthen or establish. You, according to my gospel, euangelion. The Greek word for good news. That was a standard word that people use. Hey, I got good news for you. And so it became the title for the plan of salvation, gospel, good news, anglicized, brought into English. The old word was Godspell. Now we've got it down to gospel. to establish you according to my gospel. And the proclamation, the word proclamation means an announcement, kerugma. According, this is another one of those long Pauline sentences. You know, it's like when I was in school, I didn't like it. It wasn't fun, but we did it, and it was useful. I had to diagram sentences till I was blue in the face and do handwriting in a little book. But that's how we learn parts of speech and everything, by having this with a, this is here and all the rest of it. Imagine they even do that anymore. So we'd be literate. According to the revelation, apocalypsis. According to the revelation of the mystery. The word, Greek word, is mysterion. According to the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept secret for long ages past, which has been kept secret is the perfect passive participle, sigao, keep secret. In long ages past, we have the word chronos, we get chronology, time, and then the adjective eternal time, which is, they've translated here, long ages past. But is now manifested, but is now manifested. To make known or make manifest is the aorist participle of phanereo. But now is manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets. The scriptures, the writings of the prophets. Prophets is an adjective in this case, prophetikos. According to kata, according to the commandment of the eternal God. We're not through. This whole thing is one sentence. Okay? But now is manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, made known to all the nations. The eternal God, I gave you that. here, has been made known to all the nations, ethnos for nations, leading to obedience of faith. Hupakoe is obedience of faith. I didn't give you made known, but this, it's out of order with regard to the English and the way the Greek goes. The Greek, the last word in this particular verse is gnorizo, to make something known. To the only wise God, to the only Sophos wise God, through Jesus Christ, his agent, through Jesus Christ, be the glory forever and ever. The glory into aeon means an age, and it's an idiomatic expression for forever, into the ages. Okay, point one. With regard to verse 24 up there, a benediction at this point would close the section, as did the one in verse 20. Verses 25 and 27 would be a closing doxology. If such close proximity seems strange, this is all technical, I just put in here, compare 2 Thessalonians 3:16 and 18. The textual evidence has this verse omitted in those, and all those letters and things there are Greek manuscripts. The Latin Vulgate and other versions. But it is found in D and G and a mass of cursives. The suspicion is that it was omitted because of the mistaken notion of incompatibility with the nearness of verse 20. That's what we can conclude. It doesn't affect anything, but it's a technical matter. This is the longest of the doxologies. There's a fairly long one in Hebrews 13, 20 and 21, and Jude 24 and 25. In Romans 1:11, Paul states his desire to impart some spiritual gift, his gift of apostle, to establish the Roman Christians in the faith, that he will be the agent used of God to get them further established in the faith. And, of course, the book of Romans was a big, big step in that direction. For here the emphasis is upon God, who is able to establish positive volition. Those that want the truth and aren't happy when they're not getting what they need, it's like a bad diet, bad food. I'm just not happy with this. We've got to do something about this. So it's those that demand something and are uncomfortable if they're in an environment where they're, you know, not getting anything but maybe it's at the best milk and not making real progress. I've told you my story many times. And that is basically, why is he teaching the Bible? What is all this? It took me a while to get to that. I guess I was eating the same stuff over and over, and I wasn't getting what I wanted. And that's when I got dead serious about praying about it. And if anybody calls on the Lord and desires to be where they need to be spiritually, He'll work it out for them. It may take a little while. Here the emphasis is upon God, who is able to establish positive volition. The lesson is that we should place reliance upon who is able to establish us. It is He who provides us with face-to-face teaching and protects us against stumbling. Jude 1:24 and 25. For the recipients of this letter, they received the contents of this book, as we at Maranatha did in 1987 and in the past several years after that. To be established in the faith, believers must adhere to what Paul calls my gospel. There are false gospels out there perpetrated by those calling themselves Christians, and I don't doubt that many of them are saved, but it is not. His gospel is defined under the doctrine of the gospel. Paul is referring to the gospel that he was entrusted with at the call of his ministry. He said, I was entrusted with this. It was explained to me at the outset when he was called to be an apostle. And it was explained to him. So he understood the details with regard to the salvation adjustment to God. His gospel. And by adoption, it is my gospel. It isn't by origin my gospel. It is by adoption. I adopted it. I received. This is my gospel. Not that he in any way had anything to do with its origination. It is his because he embraced it as such. That there are false gospels, such as faith plus works. That's one example. Those who say you've got to be baptized in addition to believing in Christ. That's a work. Baptism is a ritual. Rituals never saved anybody. They were commanded in the Old Testament under the law to follow the rituals in obedience to God as believers. But rituals can't save anybody. They can glorify God after the fact on the part of a believer, like water baptism and the Lord's table. But they aren't needed for salvation. A person can be on their deathbed and believe in Christ and not get baptized because it's not going to happen. They die. Thief on the cross, classic example. He had a very short phase 2. Did he not? But you know what? So what? He had a... Well, I know one of the apostles had a real short phase too. In terms of his apostolic ministry. And that was the first martyr among the apostles. And that was the brother of Peter, James. He died and martyred him. You read about it in Acts. He died real early on. He did not have an extended ministry. So that was off subject. But I use the thief on the cross as a good illustration. Because he, in all that suffering, knowing he's going to die, he embraces who and what Christ is, and Christ is being crucified. That would look like circumstances that no one under those circumstances would respond to him. But he did. And at first they both were on Christ's case. And then he stopped in midstream and basically told his friend on Jesus' left to shut his mouth. This man has done nothing wrong. We have. That's clearing the air. And then he says to Jesus, he's a Jew. He knew about a future kingdom down the road. Even though he was a violent criminal, he chose the life of crime. People choose a lot of things. He chose a life of crime. That's what got him in trouble with the Romans. He wasn't just some funky pickpocket or something. He was a serious highway robber. And so he says to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now you got to realize he's a baby believer. He just got saved. He picks up on that and Jesus comforts him. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Of course, the thief died first, and Jesus joined up with Jesus died first, excuse me, and then the thief died, and here they are in paradise. He wouldn't be there very long, because by Sunday, late Sunday of Resurrection Day, Christ went down there and took all of the souls of all of the Old Testament and all the believers up to that point, including this nameless thief, and took them on a trip deep into the earth and took them straight up through the crust of the earth, up through the past the stars and all the rest of it, and put them in the third heaven. When Christ got his resurrection body. Imagine that event. Millions. Well, I want to say something on a side too. It is my belief that when children, like babies and infants, and those that haven't reached what we studied in Romans, accountability, put another way, haven't reached God awareness, die, they go to heaven. The illegitimate child that David fathered with Bathsheba died when he was 3 days old. He was born sick. What did David say? He can't come to me, but I can go to him. Is David just... No, this is a true statement. So for all the people that have lost... All the, you know, and I'm not for slaughtering people or anything, but all these little kids that are dying on the earth today for a variety of reasons... They get a pass because God is fair. He doesn't require someone to... You say, well, they never got saved. You're right. They were born spiritually dead. They got a soul. They might have died minutes or hours or days after their birth or died in some accident or got sick or in a war. Think of all the kiddos out there that are dying in war. They get a pass. Because God is fair. He doesn't ask us to do something it's impossible for us to do. They don't have the mentality yet to say yay or nay. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Man, if that's right, can you imagine all the people in heaven? And these little kids that didn't know up from down, God from whatever, They get a free pass. Mom, they can't even remember what they had down here. And they'll get their resurrection bodies. And millions and millions of them have died from plague and war and all the rest of it. They get a pass. The first funeral I ever did, it was a sad deal. The parents were Christians. The older boy got a pistol and shot the baby. Killed him. This sounds real sad, but you know what? I had an upbeat message. You're going to be reunited with that boy. He's in heaven. And I'm not just saying this to make you all feel good. And I cited these particular things with regard to David losing this child 3 days out from the womb. Okay. Paul is referring to the gospel that he was entrusted with at his call to the ministry. That there are false gospels, faith plus works, is apparent among those calling themselves Christians. I am not saying they're not Christians. Don't misrepresent me. Here's three ways you can go. Salvation is plus faith, that alone stands on its own, as long as the object is Jesus Christ. The second thing is faith plus works. They believe in Christ, but then they're told. And that I used the baptism one as an illustration. There are others. Faith plus, well, you got to keep your proverbial nose clean. You can't do that sin, or you'll lose it. Salvation is irrevocable. I got so many verses, it isn't funny. That doesn't slow these dummies down. And I had a person say, I was tormented as a young girl and everything in that church, constantly wondering if I was saved or not. And she said, the first Bible class, when I came the first time, you were reviewing the doctrine of eternal security. And I was set free. Because she was tormented by the thought that she was in this denomination that's in our neighborhood that said you could lose your salvation and other goofy stuff. That you can reach sinless perfection and all that mess. And there's so many verses, it's like, what? That's why I don't have any regard for denominationalism. Period. It's the autonomous local church, and the pastor teacher who has complete integrity is going to declare the whole counsel of God, come what may. God will vindicate him. And you don't play games with this. Well, in my experience with the gospel was, yeah, they had this right. Once saved, always saved. See, they had eternal security right, and they weren't adding baptism or anything else. They just like to make you feel like maybe you weren't saved if you did that sin. Did you read the Bible? Did you read about Samson? Please. Believers are capable of committing any sin, an unbeliever. I got examples of believers that did murder, did adultery, did this, did idolatry, blah, 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 blah. And they're just as saved as I am. They're just not living the Christian life. They're feeding off of their sin nature. You know, it's like the believer took one believer, prominent member of this church, took one of our other members aside, as I told you with coffee. Do you think that you can, and be positive? He didn't say salvation. He said, do you think you can do that and be positive? And they kept, because this was an authority figure and everything, he was, yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think a believer can be positive and commit a bad sin. I mean, he didn't say, where were you when you in Bible class? When we were given the illustrations of positive believers who made the grade. Samson rebounded, with his eyes gouged out and asked God for one more time to kill Philistines. God didn't say, well, you were with that woman. I'm not trying to give people any ideas. I don't have to try to give people ideas. They come up with them on their own. Oh, I can just rebound that and go on. I've done it with regard to things. I'm bragging about it. It's just a fact. So, another gospel. And then the one I didn't mention is works, works, works. Just do works. Go to catechism. Do the sacraments. And maybe you'll make it. If enough people pray for you after you die. There is nothing in the Bible about that. Oh, you might have to stop off at purgatory. Wow. I saw a thing on my computer. Is purgatory in the Bible? Hell no, it isn't. It's heaven or hell, and that's it. There's no stopping off point. Arabs believe you've got to appear before Allah to be judged to see if you're going to go to the happy life with 29 virgins or 24. It doesn't matter. People have been sold all this stuff. The doctrine of demons is everywhere. We're in a hostile environment. Now, there are nice people in all walks of life, and I recognize it. I'm not talking, but we're in a hostile environment. And there's false gospels all over the place. Oh, how about another one? When you get saved, you'll speak in tongues. That one. And they also are the ones that you can sneeze and lose it. I exaggerate to make a point, okay? They get what they deserve. I don't feel sorry for them. If you're a seeker and you want it right, you'll ask God, and He doesn't deceive anybody, and He isn't no respecter of persons, and He will take anybody from any background and set them right in the center of truth if that's what they want. You're no different than anyone else. No better, no worse. So, Paul said to the Galatians, Paul got them on the right road, on the right path, in all these respects, and he gets word that they've fallen for another gospel. It didn't affect their salvation. It affected what was between their ears and how they lived their life. Because they're now being told by these individuals who insinuated themselves into their church from the outside and said Paul wasn't giving you the full gospel, faith in Christ, yes, 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 but you got to also keep the Mosaic law. All kinds of problems with that one, but anyway, the Galatians didn't go so far as to actually submit to the rite, the males, to the ritual of circumcision, but that's what they were preaching. Paul says, I'm amazed that you're so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Jesus Christ for a heteros, different gospel. I'm really quite amazed. You are so on board, and here you are buying in to these teachers that taught you different than me. And the whole purpose of the book of Galatians was to pull them out of this tailspin. It's like they contacted a real bad virus, and they're going to have to go through and get over this, and we got to reteach all this and reestablish it in your thinking. Because you didn't have your guard up. That's why when we hear something that doesn't jive, doesn't add up, wherever it is, on TV, somebody saying something, some relative or some whatever they're saying. No. I don't care if it's your mother. It's not right, it's not right. It's not on point. There are many, Paul says, who distort the gospel of Christ that early in the church age. Already we have them out there running around doing this stuff. And now we've had thousands of years, hundreds of years since then, and here we are. Christianity is also suffering today as a result of all this liberalism and this wokeism. One of the top Christian schools in name, in the Christian ranks of schools, it equals Harvard at its best. It's called Wheaton College. Completely taken over with wokeism and weirdness. I used to get a publication back in the day called Christianity Today. It was conservative evangelical information. Once I got on doctrine, it wasn't the thing, you know. But anyway, I got some woman wrote an article in there saying that Jesus was Asian, and they let it go through. Everything is going crazy. So keep your guard up. For Paul's attitude towards those who preach a corrupted gospel, see Galatians 1:8. It's the book right after 2 Corinthians. Get how he says it. See, this is what I base my deal on. I have no tolerance. I had a pastor teacher candidate. I taught him in seminary over in Tulsa. He was here as a teacher in our seminary. You probably know by now, but it doesn't matter. And he's got a church here in town. And you know what he said? Well, we fraternize with those people because they're believers and they teach the gospel. Well, what about this? He says, but even if we should show up one day, or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we preach to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. He is way off limits. Think about it for a minute. You are denigrating what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Because we've got to add something to that. I'm talking about the three hours of bearing sins. We've got to add something to that. That don't stand on its own. Forgiveness of sins is based on what he did on the cross, not someone being dunked in water or whatever it is. That's our gospel. And we'll die for it. We will not compromise it. To a gospel of faith plus works, faith or works by its whatever it is. Don't be fooled by these people. Do not be fooled by people because they have pleasant and nice personalities. It's the message. It's what comes out of their mouth, what they teach regarding these issues. Okay, so that's Paul's attitude towards those who teach a corrupted gospel. So, the phrase, according to the proclamation of Jesus Christ, refers to that which Christ is the subject. He's the center for it and the focus with regard. He is the person of the gospel, and he is the designated Savior. So God establishes positive volition via a proper gospel presentation. This is foundational. This is basic and foundational. And as you sit here, you become more and more aware. Well, how much faith does it take? How much is more faith than no faith at all? The grain of a mustard seed. That's the parable. It's a tiny seed that when it germinates and grows into a full-grown plant, it dominates the domestic garden of the times in which they lived. Compared to the other seeds, this little one grows up and has this plant that shades, it's over all the other plants. Oh, we're talking in a domestic garden. We have these analogies in Scripture. So that's all it takes. God judges the heart of individuals. I suppose some people could lie and say they're believers just to keep people off them. But God knows if they actually said, yeah, I agree. I agree with what you're saying. It's like when you in Bible class and I teach something, you get it and you hadn't heard it before or something, you go, yeah, right on. You documented it sufficiently and we're on board with it. We call that GAP, the grace apparatus for perception. Inhale faith. I hear it, I see it, and I file it away. Part of my spiritual frame of reference. The gospel is totally compatible with the revelation of the mystery. What is that? Which is a reference to the present dispensation of the church age. And we will talk about the church age, the special dispensation that you and I are privileged to be in simply because we were born in time and we believed in Christ in time and we're in the church age. The hidden dispensation. Well, it was revealed, but not in its detail. You couldn't get a clear picture of it from the Old Testament. All you could get was, well, we'll get to that. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.